So he's addressed the nation as the White House press secretary and made it to the quarterfinals on Dancing with the Stars. Now Sean Spicer will be hosting his own show. It's called Spicer and Company. We've talked about it here every day, actually. It's a new cable news program on Newsmax TV, which debuts on Tuesday, March 3rd at 6 p.m. and will air daily Monday through Friday on Newsmax TV, America's fastest growing cable news channel. And we welcome to the show Sean Spicer. Good morning, Sean.
When you press the mute button, it works.
I'm like, I know he's still on because the light is still on that corresponds to the line that you're on, the phone line that you're on here. So I'm like, all right, okay. Maybe he's going through a tunnel as well, you know. First of all, thanks for being here this morning. We really appreciate it. And congratulations on your new TV show for Newsmax TV.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited. It starts next Tuesday, and as you guys just mentioned, it's every night at 6 o'clock, and if you go to SeanSpicer.com, it literally we can sign you up so that we can tell you where to find it on your cable system and also who the guests are going to be. I think we got a pretty fun week ahead planned.
You've done, and there's no one more suited for this show, Sean, than you, with the wealth of experience that you have. Tell me about your experience as President Trump's, actually his first White House press secretary.
Well, I mean, I had spent a lifetime. I went to school in Eastern Connecticut.
I know.
College, and then I started doing political stuff. And I always tell people I felt like a minor league ball player. I went from campaign to campaign, and whenever the next game is, and I never thought something like this would be possible. I spent 6 years. I got out of active duty in 2011, and then went to work at the RNC. And I thought, okay, you know, this is great. I finally got it to work at the National Party.
Yeah, you
through a bunch of, you know, and then ended up getting, because of the uniqueness of the Trump campaign, played what I would call an oversized role. And as when we won, you know, I had the opportunity, the president looked around, and frankly, there hadn't been that many people that had been willing to join the team and that had the experience necessary. And, you know, so he tapped me to do it. And it was, you know, sort of a dream come true. I never thought it would be something that I'd have the opportunity to do. Now, there's no question about it. It was a tumultuous run at best.
You know, in December of 2016, that's when you were named the White House press secretary. And then 2 days later, you were also named communications director for the Trump administration. And yet you had a contentious relationship with some of the White House press corps. How did that go?
Yeah, I think that's putting it mildly. it's funny. I think the problem was, there was a variety of things that all came together at once. One is, I had known a lot of these guys for a long time. I thought some of the personal relationships would transcend some of the issues they had with the president. Two is, I made a lot of assumptions about President Trump and how he wanted to operate as president that, in retrospect, we're not, you know, done with ever having really consulted him. I sort of had approached the job in a very traditional manner. And I think that didn't fully appreciate or recognize the disruptive nature that he wanted to bring to office. And so, you know, I look back and I think that every lesson you learn in life is one that hopefully you grow from. And I've looked at some of the things we've done really well during that
sure.
time. And I looked at some of the stuff that both we and I could have done better and hopefully become a stronger person and professional going forward.
I would imagine that's an incredibly stressful position. If you look back historically, presidents have, it's like they go through press secretaries like once every 18 months. Is that contributed? Does that attribute to the stress level or?
Oh, we'll take that and then magnify it by at least five in the Trump world. Because
yeah, well.
I think it's always an intense job. I feel like in some cases it's like being like a first responder in the sense that you always have to be on. You can't relax. You know that you don't know when that next call is going to come, that something went wrong and you're going to have to be, you know, ready to go. So there's an intensity. And there's also what I tell people, and I wrote a book on this because I part of wanted to explain what goes on inside, but there's a loneliness because no one really completely understands what's going on inside. There's only been 28 people. Well, at my time, I was the 28th press secretary. There's now 30 that have gone through it. And it's a very lonely position because, A, not a lot of people understand it. No one else really cares, meaning that, you know, you have this opportunity and this honor to serve in this huge position. And it's not like people are, you know, there's a bunch of people lined up to take the job and complaining about it isn't really an option. So you're sitting there trying to explain to people what you're going through. and no one has an appreciation for it or a concern.
I can only imagine.
So it is neat, but I do feel honored and blessed to have been able to do it. I you know, to your point earlier, I've spent, you know, I think I've worked for 11 or 9 or 10 or 11 different members of Congress. I worked for the National Party, the White House. I was the assistant U.S. trade rep, 21 years in the military. And I think to be able to sit in, when you hear things on the news sometimes coming out of Washington, that makes it seem very black and white. And the things are a lot more complicated than they're made to seem a lot of times. And so I think being able to sit back and explain to people what's going on and why it's important and how it impacts their lives is something that I think would be really fun.
That book that you released in 2018, The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President, it kind of goes into a little bit of your relationship with President Trump. I know you wanted more of a strategic communications role as White House Communications Director, but did your relationship with President Trump, how did that change after you left the position of White House Press Secretary?
As I tell people, I have not had a bad conversation with the president. I talked to him last week. He's, you know, been fully supportive. He, you know, you mentioned Dancing with the Stars. He tweeted, three or four times during it. He's been unbelievably gracious with his support of my career. He's appointed me last week to the White House as a commissioner to the White House Commission on Fellows, to the Board of Visitors of the U.S. Naval Academy. I mean, he's been extremely supportive of me, and, you know, and it's great to stay in contact with him. But once you're not, you know, in the day-to-day fire, it's a much more enjoyable and pleasant place.
Yeah, just ask Sarah Huckabee Sanders that question. I think she'd agree with you a hundredfold. Hey, since you brought up Dancing with the Stars, I've got to ask you, what was that experience like? Were you a little out of your element, or was it as easy as you made it look?
I wasn't even in my orbit, never mind my element. I mean, when I went to college, man, I sat in the corner when we had these Thursday, they called them TNEs, Thursday night events. I would literally stand in the corner when the DJ was playing music. Aww. I had no rhythm. And so this was like a very, very, I was worried going into this that I was just, you know, my daughter kept saying, please don't embarrass me, daddy. But it was, I couldn't say enough great things about how much I enjoyed that experience. The people that surround that show, from the cast and the crew to, you know, all of the people who support it, are just good people. And I'm so glad I did that. I really enjoyed it.
Good.
As an opportunity. And, you know, I tell people, when on earth are you ever going to get paid to go get in shape and lose weight?
Yeah, right. You're absolutely right. But how are you? I know you were treated well by the producers and by the staff and the crew. How about some of your fellow contestants? Would they allow their own personal political ideology seep into it and maybe treat you differently? Or was everybody treated, all the contestants, treated with equal respect?
I think everyone was treated with unbelievable respect. And it was fun, the conversations that we got to have, because a lot of them just aren't political by nature because of what they do or the background. And they'd ask me sometimes, like, hey, I don't understand all of this controversy that surrounds you sometimes. Like, what did you do, or why is this? Why are people upset about this? And there were times when, you know, I tried to keep it non-political, but it was, you know, sometimes it wasn't being political. It was just explaining why they were getting asked 8 different questions on the press line after a show that had to do with me. But it was really good, I think, to at least in a small group, because obviously you can't talk to everyone at once.
Of course.
It was just nice to be able to explain and show that, you know, there are people that have different, and a lot of them, we had different ideologies, but it was like, well, wait a second, so what? Just because you and I disagree that everyone, I was like, well, you know, in some cases that's the case. And it was just, it was nice to be able to see how people can actually really enjoy each other's company without making everything personal and political. And that to me was just a great thing. And I kept saying that despite the controversy at the beginning of the show, that I actually do believe it was successful, right? It was this idea of showing that you can have people of these diverse and different backgrounds. And let's be honest, everybody on that show, I shouldn't say that, that's not nice, but a lot of people on that show, probably a majority of people that are affiliated with that show, don't share my political leanings.
Right, right.
And yet we all had a great experience. And I think that my point during the whole thing was to say, look, this is the point. Why do we have to make everything if you are on one side or another? And I say that for both the right and the left. That's not a one-sided
thing. That's
how
it should be.
The idea is that you can hang out, you can do something that's non-political, I mean, and enjoy each other's company, talk about a million other things, and not just go, okay, because you're on that side of the aisle, I'm just going to, you know, completely try to demonize you. And I think that too often that's become the case, and especially in Hollywood, where it's like once they find out what side you're on, it's like you're a bad person, you're this, you're that. And it's the lack of tolerance that is so ironic coming from the left.
Yeah, you know, I wish it was like that in real life and not just on the set of that show. All right, so I want to take us up to the present day. Newsmax TV, you've got your own nightly show. Tell me what the show's about. I can't wait.
So, I mean, look, I think that I always say that what I want to do is kind of what you do every day, in the sense that it's a conversation with listeners. It's not sitting there reading the news for hours. It's having a conversation, a discussion, and too often you turn on the news at 6 o'clock and it's like, this is what happened today. This is it. Let's bring in a reporter. Let's bring in an analyst and talk about it. What I want to do is bring in some of these people that I know well, that I'm subject matter experts, and kind of explain what's going on in a very conversational way and kind of break it down, but not in a hardcore news way, but talk about it. I have an opinion. My co-host and other people on the show are going to have an opinion. And it's saying, so what do you think about this? As opposed to give me the analysis of this.
Because okay.
I look at it like a dinner table at night where you're sitting around having a discussion about what happened today. And when you turn over to your spouse or your friend or your daughter or your kid or whatever, and you're sitting there, you don't say, can you give me an analysis of today's events? You know, what do you think about what happened today? What does it mean? And I think what we want to do is share those different perspectives, because a lot of people bring different things to the table and look at it like that. Like you're literally having dinner at 6 o'clock and the viewer is sitting down at our table.
So it really differentiates itself from some of the other shows with a lot of pundits that are on some of the other news channels. This sounds more like of a round table discussion. Who's your co-host, by the way?
Oh, unfortunately, we're not ready. But that's a good question. I knew you were going to ask it the second I said it.
that's my job, Sean. That's my job.
I know. Jesus, I'm not ready yet to be a journalist.
Well, let me tell you something. You blocked the BBC, CNN, New York Times, LA Times, Politico from some off-camera briefings. I mean, now you're on the other side. I think it's pretty funny. I think it's great. I think you bring a new and a fresh perspective of having a show.
Well, I would never try to equate myself. I'm not looking to be a journalist. I'm looking to have fun and make people informed and want to watch something that's enjoyable, as opposed to, you know, doing that hard hitting stuff. But I will say, again, as I said at the beginning, if people want to know who the co-host is and who the guests are going to be as we do this, if you just go to the website, SeanSpicer.com, there's a sign up thing and we'll make sure that everybody knows and, you know, what's happening starting next Tuesday and every day going forward.
And absolutely. That's why you're going to be successful. One of the reasons why this show is successful with me in the morning is because I was a member of the House of Representatives here in the state. I served two terms totaling 4 years. So I can tell our listeners how things really are up at our state capitol. You were inside the Beltway, the Washington, D.C. You were one of the movers and shakers. So you bring a perspective that some of these other nightly political talking heads, they can't bring, they can't offer their viewers. And that's something that you, with firsthand knowledge, can offer your viewers, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And you know exactly, there's times when I'm sure you watch the news about something that's going on in Hartford and you say, that's not how it works.
Right, all the time.
It's very, or it's just so simplistic to make it seem like that happened. And, you know, I got down here in 1993, and have been back and forth since. But the bottom line is, it's just, there are times when I watch a news story and I say, that's just not, that's a very simplistic way of looking at this. It's not how, it's not as black and white as it's being presented. And I think to be able to explain to people how those decisions get made or why it's, you know, it's a little bit more complicated than meets the eye is important.
Well, I know I've got to let you go. You're going to make Connecticut proud. You're going to make the United States proud as they watch your show. It debuts on Tuesday, March 3rd, 6 p.m. on Newsmax TV, which really is America's fastest growing cable news channel. And if you don't have it at home, folks, you better ask your cable provider for this. Sean, you're making Connecticut proud. We look forward to having you back on the show with us sometime soon. And we wish you the best of luck with your show.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you having me on. Look forward to coming back.